Today's Mishnah and Masechet Parah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKedesh, Perek Yud Beit Mishnah Tet. Hasalim Shebekantel. So remember, we're talking about, for the past few dinim, we've been talking about the question of whether a kli that consists of separate parts is considered to be a single kli. Sometimes it's a single kli like a Kabbalah's Tuma, and often it's considered to be a single kli, both in terms of Kabbalah's Tuma and also in terms of Hazoya. So if the water of the Paraduma reaches only one part, it's as if it touched the two parts, even though these are very significantly different parts, like a bell and the clapper in the inside of the bell. So where you've got a Salim Shebekantel, so a Kantel is this device that you put over the back of a chamor, and you hang the salim on it, and that way you don't have the actual ropes going across the back of the chamor, and this way you can carry more on either side, and that was called a kantel. A mita shetarbal, which is usually written mita shetarbal. I'm not sure why over here is the tarbal, but anyway, so the Gemara talks about this, and it's what David HaMelech had actually used to torture the soldiers in Moab. Those were before the days that they had the Metzach from who was the enemy of the soldiers, so he could get away with that kind of thing. And he used the mita shel tarbal. Now, remember what that is. It's a studded kind of pieces of wood that are all connected to each other. You roll it over, pull it over the grain with a tractor, and it really beats it up, boom, 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 as it goes over, with the studs that are sticking out. And that way, it makes it basically ready to winnow. So it's the threshing is done with the mita shel tarbal, and that tarbal is actually related to turbo. It's a Greek word, and it works the way that we use the word turbo in one piece, moving the other piece, and so on. So it's a mita shel tarbal, and that is each piece is essentially a different piece, which is all connected together when it's rolled over. A keren shel kliva, which seems to be a little piece that was sticking out of a mitas hames. So they would actually tie the body so that in case people stumbled, the body wouldn't fall. Kranim shayot seidrachim. This is a very cute one. Kranim shayot. I love this one. So what do we do when we're on the road, right? So we've got these cups, which are one-time use cups, paper cups. And each cup fits into the next cup, right? So you can carry like a dozen cups. They take no space. Well, they didn't actually have disposable cups in those days, but they had horns. Now, one horn fits into the next horn, so you can actually have 10 horns in a very small space. So it was the equivalent of our pack of disposable cups. Very sweet. A shalshelet ha-maftechot. This is also, of course, very common today. You've got this little chain that has got five different keys attached to it. Shalal hakufsim. I don't know whether they still use this, but when I was a bocher, they definitely did. They would put a thread through your laundry so that they don't lose your socks and that it all comes back together. That was like, you know, just a thread. It's meant to be torn and you get your socks back. So that's a shalal hakufsim. A beged shutafur bekilayim. If you've got something that was temporarily put together with a piece of linen thread, so obviously you're not going to wear that unless you take it apart. So all of those things are sufficient to be a chibur latuma, so long as they're there, but we're not mekel to consider them to be a chibur lahazoya. So therefore, you're going to have to get the mehazoya on every one of those begadim that is attached this way, or every one of the kranot that are packed with one and the other, and so on. So each piece requires a separate hazaya. Mishnah Yud. Kisui mecham, shuhu mechubar l'shalshalet. This is a fascinating case. You've got this cover to your Shabbos, big Shabbos kettle, and the cover always disappears. So this company sells the cover so that it's connected with a chain. Now, when you open it up, okay, you never lose the cover. You just put it back on. So it's got a little chain connection. So what's the din over there? So Beit Shammai Omrim, that's another case, which is a chibur l'tumah, ve'ina chibur l'hazayah. So the main point over there is it's not, even though they're connected, l'maisa, they're separate pieces, and therefore they may be considered a kli echad l'gabe tumah, but not l'gabe hazayah. Beit Hillel Omrim, hiza al ha-mecham huza ha-kisui. Now, he says, it's not quite the same. Because in other cases, the various pieces were all of equal chashivas. So one piece of the mita shel turbo was just as important as another mita shel turbo. And the same thing is true of the socks that are put together with the thread and so on and so forth. All of these things, you can't say one is the main thing and one is the secondary thing. But when you're talking about a cover and a kettle, and I think it's pretty clear that the main issue over here is the actual mecham, the kettle. You always take a plate, and which happens often when you don't have the top, it's with a chain and you lost the top. So you put a plate on top, and then you've got a usable kettle. You can't do very much with the top without the kettle. So in this case, Tainis Beis Hillel, you have to recognize that there is an Iker Shokli, and then there's the Tafel Shokli. And therefore, if you're Maza Lakisui, Lo Huzah Mecham. So in this case, it wouldn't even become Torah. Now, this is similar to the Mishnah that we had at the beginning of this series, where we considered something to be the Iker part of the Kli, but it wasn't the Iker to the point that it was separate Kalim. So there, let's say we were talking about the spindles that consisted of the three parts. That Mi'ikar Adin was considered to be one thing, and we were just talking about what's the thing to aim at when you do the Hazayah. But over there, if Lamaisa, it would touch an area that wasn't the Iker, the Kli, it was still considered to be a Hazayah. Here, we actually have two parts, in which one of them is not considered to be an effective Hazayah at all. Now, moving on to the actual din of the Hazayah. So here we have a fascinating halacha. And this is, I'm afraid that the little g is going to have to come back because this is an important yesod that warrants an actual Gavi note. And that is called a mashma motzi miyad mashma. There's sometimes where you have an unnecessary posuk that seems to be repeating exactly a halacha that you already know, but in repeating it, it's telling you that I'm stressing its opposite. So each similar mashma is motzi midei the previous mashma. And this is a fascinating example of the concept of mashma motzi midei mashma. And what is the case over here? So we have one pasuk. And that pasuk, we use l'chatchila, the ish tahor, that was l'gabe. We have two completely different dinim. We have the taval b'mayim, which we talked about before, that the tefillah has to be an ish tahor vihiza. So that means that the hazayah and the tefillah is done by an ish tahor, and the drasha, the simple drasha of an ish tahor, is that it needs to be an ish. It needs to be a male and not a female. In which case, when it comes to the question of the tefillah and the hazayah, we would say that an isha or even a suffix isha, such as a tumtum vandrogynous, would be possible. Furthermore, we learned that you have to be hiza, which means you have to hiza ala tameh, that you need to have kavana. And kavana would not mean that you need to necessarily have das, but you need to have, this is a very important distinction, which the Gemara in Chulin makes more clear, you need to have intent. Now, children have intent for a particular thing, for a particular reason. Even if they don't have dot, then they're not connected to that intent. It doesn't really make a difference, but that's not the point. The point is to have the intent. So therefore, if you have a tinok in the sense of years, but he does have intent, that would be kosher, because the ish did not mean ish velo tinok, it meant ish velo isha. Now, the fascinating thing, however, is that when we have a posik that is nogea, the asifa, it says, the same thing. The asaf ish tohor et efer hapara, v'hiniach b'chutz ha-machaneh v'mokom tohor. So over there, we understand that the meaning of the ish is that in the context where we've been talking about Elazar HaKohen, so we need to know that ish is machshir, even a zar. So ish is coming to be machshir, the zar. And then when it says tohor, obviously it has to be tohor, because until then we've been talking about the whole idea of the vizar tohor latameh. So when it says tohor, it means anyone who is tohor, which means even including a woman. And then when it says vihiniach, it means vihiniach if he has das to be miniach. Mashein ken echer shayt v'katan, who don't have das, would be posel. Because if we would interpret the two psukim in the same way, that when it says by tefillah v'azor ish tahar, it means exactly the same thing, that the tahar is marba de isha, and the idea of the ish would be machshir the zar, then you wouldn't have had to write the posik at all. Why write the posik? We would simply continue on and say, just keep doing what you were doing. We're talking about the same guy. We're talking about the one who was osav, and now take it and sprinkle it. Why did you have to go through the whole limud again? So this is the classic example of mashma, motzi midei mashma. The very fact that you said the same words again, completely unnecessarily, mean that the pasuk is telling you, do not take these words in the same way that they were meant initially. Search for a secondary way of interpreting, and that yields the opposite results. Amazing. So the same word is actually yielding opposite results in the first pasuk and in the second pasuk. And that gives us the following halacha. Hakok sherim lahazot. When it comes to the hazoya, over there we darshaned that the ish means not the isha, because of the motzi midei mashma. In which case, a woman or a suffolk woman, a tumtum, an androgynous, an isha, all of them would actually be posel. A tinok would be kosher unless ein bo das. Here das would mean a intent. And he's saying, you know, I'm doing this for this purpose. And that wouldn't require das of a gadol. So once he's old enough to know what he's doing and intend to be doing it, that would be kosher. But if he's ein bo das on that level, then it would not be kosher, because it wouldn't be considered to be kavana. But we had before, remember, that a kapan sheyesh bo das, that is sufficient. Ha'isha misa'adato umazeh. Now, the woman can help this, we'll see in a moment what it's referring to, help him to be mazeh. So in other words, a woman who is psula to be mazeh, if this is a continuation of the tinok, then it makes echo of a lot of sense. And because of that, there really is another girsa. V'ha'isha misayato misado. So in other words, since a child would normally have some difficulty in holding in one hand the mayim and in the other hand to do the hazaya, so it doesn't matter if his mommy helps him and she holds the water for him or something, and she can ochezet lo b'mayim, as long as he does the tefillah and the hazoya. But if his mommy holds his hand and says, here, honey, do it this way, so then that would be posel, because then she would be doing the actual hazoya. So therefore, im achaza b'yado, afilu b'sha'at hazaya, and for sure, at the time of the tefillah, because the main pasuk was on the taval. It was the hizah, we were only being medama to the taval. But even if it was b'shas hazoya, which was the secondary limut from the pasuk, that the isha is psula, her helping him out and holding his hand would actually pasul the hazoya. Toval et ha'ezov bayom. Now, if the tefillah of the ezov was done in the day.
Mishnah Yud Aleph.
Oh, sorry.
Mishnah Yud Aleph.
Thank you. Mishnah Yud Aleph. The din is that you're supposed to be doing bayom. Both the it says beferish, bayom ha'shlishi, bayom ha'shivi'i. So we understand that the hazoya for sure has to be done bayom. So if you did both the tefillah and the hazoya bayom, kosher. Kosher doesn't mean kosher, but the avad kosher means that's what is kosher. That is the way that it's supposed to be done. And that is because, remember, we have the hekesh of the tefillah, v'yizah, v'tavah, v'yizah. So therefore, even though it only says v'yizah, hala tahar, hala tameh, bayom ha'shavishi, u'bayom ha'shavihi, the halacha is that it's also true on the tefillah because of our hekesh that we had earlier. Bayom, v'yizah balayla, balayla v'yizah bayom, pasul. However, if he does the tefillah, bayom, but the hazoya is only done in the nighttime that follows, so then he would be pasul. Or if he was tevel while it was still dark, so it was still night, and then he was yizah biyom, in either of these cases, it's pasul. But the person who requires the tefillah, hu atzmo, ha'adam, this individual, ha'adam, that is the ish on him. It's not quite clear, as big machlokas, what we're talking about. The Adam who is Tomei, we're talking about the guy upon whom the Hazoya is done. We know that it says on that person, so the Adam himself, he is then supposed to actually be mittaher. He has to be mittaher in a mikvah. So the question is that what we're referring to over here? So that it's actually a din in a tefillah, and there would be two completely different tefillahs. So some actually learn that he's supposed to be tavav, the taval, himself in the mayim, and then he gets the hazoya, and then he goes afterwards, and he's tovel, which requires erev shemesh, the tahar. So then in the nighttime, he's going to be tahar, and maybe that's what it's talking about, that he, the Adam, on whom you're going to be mazeh, if he prepared himself for the tefillah prior to the hazoya, that doesn't matter if he's tevel in the nighttime. But the tefillah that he makes after the hazoya has to actually be done during the day, because the Torah said beferish that it requires v'tahar afterwards. In which case, it must have been done in the daytime, and then he requires harif shemesh, as it says, v'chito b'yom ha'shvi'i, v'chibes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'mayim, v'tahar b'arif. So there doesn't seem to be any way to be doing that in the nighttime, because how is he going to have then the kiyum of the pasuk of v'tahar b'arif? The problem is that not everybody agrees that that's the way to read the sugya. This is the Sugya in Megillah. And that actually, it's not referring to the Adam that it's referring to. It's referring to the tefillah of the Ezov, which in which case it's basically would just be saying the way we learned the Mishnah before, that you do the tefillah before the Hazoya. And that needs to be Biyom. But the question of the Adam, there's no such halacha. And the din of the Adam, this is long, what do I care when it is that he does his tefillah? So the way around the contradictions over here, but Pashtas is the way the Rambam explains halacha. So the Rambam learns like this, that if the person is being tevel, the Adam himself, if he's being tevel on the same day of the Bayom Hashvi, which is what the pasuk is referring to. So then, in fact, you're right. Since it says Bayom Hashvi'i v'chibes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tahar, and this would be ba'erev, it's a din specifically in the Yom Hashvi'i. But let's say he didn't get the tefillah of the and the hazoya on the Yom Hashvi'i. Let's say whatever, he didn't have it available, and it waited until, I don't know, 2 weeks later. So then As long as he was Tevo, it makes absolutely no difference when it is that he's Tevo in those circumstances. And then the din of that tefillah is that whenever it is, you can go ahead, you can do the hazoya, whether he did a tefillah before, he did the tefillah afterwards, makes no difference as long as he had been Tevo. So in other words, if the person is doing the classic taira, so then, yes, he needs to be tahor because it's the seventh day and he's still in the middle of his tumas meis. So he goes to the mikveh, gets that he can do any time, goes to the hazoya, and then in the same day, while it's still daylight, goes to the mikveh, and then does Harav Shemesh, and then that's the classic halach. If, however, he was already became tahor in terms of the tefillah from the tumas meis, so now on the eighth day, the 20th day, whatever, he had been tevo, whenever he was Tevo, or for that matter, hadn't been Tevo, and now he's coming to get Hazoya. So he's no longer in the middle of that period. So there you could do the Hazoya, and there he does a Tevilah at any time, and there's no din of necessarily it should be together with the actual Hazoya. Okay, so this is how the Rambam understands in Hilchos Parah, the whole Halacha, which is very, very different. As far as the Hazoya is concerned, that's for sure. The Hazoya can only be done Biyom. So, avuhu atzmo tova belaylo maze biyom she'ein mazin ad shetanetzach hama, because the halacha lechatchila is that we count the day from after netz, and therefore we don't do hazoya unless it's after netz. However, the kulan, and this the kulan is a reference, remember back in the Megillah, all of the things that we list, the mitzvahs that are meant to be done biyom, this is the end of a list. So all of those things that are mitzvasam biyom, if you ended up doing them before netz, and you were also mishalam hashachar, it would still be kosher b'di'eved, and that is the raya that the Gemara brings from our situation today. And that's because of that pasuk of the, there we were, and they were the yom was mish, the laila was mishmar, the yom was melacha, and there it specifies that it was mamish in the time even after Alos HaShachar, because it says Beferish Ad Alos HaShachar, and half of the people were holding on to their machine guns, and the other half of the people were doing the work, and that's exactly our situation, so that it's a good Soloik Mesechet Parah, and Hadron Alach Mesechet Parah, Bli Neder. Now we still have to fulfill our obligations about going through the various dinim of Tumah V'Taira, which were quite complex when it came to these halachas of Parah, which of course we cannot do tomorrow and have run out of time today, but Bezrat Hashem will celebrate Bezrat Hashem after Tisha B'Av. I'm not sure whether we can do it mamash the day after Tisha B'Av. We may need a little bit of a break, but Bezrat Hashem certainly the day after the day. Okay. As we go bravely into the unknown, I wish us all a productive Erev Tisha B'Av. I hope to meet with you, Petzrat Hashem, on Tisha B'Av for an unknown shir. Maybe all kinds of dinim, maybe dinim of Malchus, maybe, we hope for the best. But whatever shir it is, Petzrat Hashem, to be together and to prepare for the Avedas Hayom properly. Okay, so I'll send out a notice, Bezrat Hashem. Kol tov, everyone. Bisurot Tovot, and Hoshiyas Amelchor Vorechus Nachat Asechol Reim, and the same Adam Amon.